And I wish Brother Pace would have got loose enough and got us loose enough. Amen. For us to just have a Holy Ghost showdown. Hoedown something. Amen. Here tonight, I told my wife, I said, Brother Pace is preaching before me. That means I probably won't have to preach tonight. And I really, really was hoping that's the way it would be. Amen. That's the kind of preaching that makes for good, strong churches and good, strong saints. Just solid doctrine. Amen. And I sure did enjoy this preaching. Thank you. I'll let you be seated for a moment, brother. Good to be here in Madera, Brother Garza. My. I guess I called Brother Garza at the wrong time. I just called him about 2 or 3 weeks ago and just to check on him. I hadn't talked to him in a few months and told him I was thinking about driving down for a day or so, just get away from the building project and the 24/7 that I've been involved in. And he asked me if I'd preach. I said, you better pray about that for a week or so. I don't know if you want a worn-out preacher preaching for you or not, but here I am. And told him again today I don't have to preach. And certainly I come in the building, come in the back door, and looked up here toward the platform and saw all these men of God sitting up here and just thought about their collective ability and certainly felt like I was the least of the least here. And so I'm a little bit anxious to just try to do something, but I feel like there's others here could do such a, and I'm really not just saying that. Here sits Brother Morton and men like this, and I got to get up here and preach, but I'm not going to try to preach to these preachers. I don't know how many hears from the Madera Church. I think I could probably manage to preach to you a little bit if the Lord will help me, and only if He will. Just want to be a blessing, and it's been so long since I've been here, and just driving down 99 always brings back so many memories. I told my family again, I said, man, oh man, I think they changed the road a little bit, maybe widened it out. Used to be just 2-lane, didn't it? Most of the way up, all the way down. But I remember when I was a boy, my daddy driving up and down 99, up and down 99. Lord have mercy. Preached up and down 99. I don't even know how many places and churches are represented here tonight, up and down 99, but played along in the dirt and the anthills, and Chowchilla and Turlock and Lord have mercy, all those places that my dad preached revivals. And I remember, of course, not just 99, but on down into L.A. area, and California was the place to be. And my dad took me in 1969 all the way to Idaho. And I've been there ever since, pretty much. I never could figure out, Brother Morton, why he took us all the way up there. But he did, and started a church in a little old town. And nobody could figure out why he did, but thank God there's a church there today, at least. And God's doing the work. And but I thought about that as I came in here tonight, and I feel that feeling. I don't know if anybody here can relate to this or not, but I feel that feeling that I used to feel as a young man, as a boy, when we would go to meetings and fellowship meetings in California. Just that fellowship, that feeling of fellowship. Beautiful feeling of fellowship. Brethren, there's nothing in the world as sweet outside of the Holy Ghost itself than beautiful holiness fellowship. And I can't, I was born in the fire. I can't live in the smoke. You know, I can't fellowship with everything because I remember what good fellowship used to feel like. And just good men of God sitting at the feet of those old preachers and old timers and old elders. It's most of them gone on. And the good fellowship that I felt in the spirit of that. And you don't know what you have. You really, really ought to appreciate it. My nearest fellowship is a home missions church 225 miles away. And then after that, the nearest fellowship is 385 miles away. And so many, many months can go by and never see another preacher of the gospel. Never see another preacher of this truth. Amen. It gets awful lonely. Sometimes I got to come to California and get a little bit of fellowship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'm just a country preacher, and I'm just all I know how to do is preach to my own church. And I'm going to try to preach something here tonight that I preached at home, if that's all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I hope nobody gets mad at me. There's enough good elders here tonight that if I'm off somewhere needing straightened out, I guess they'll straighten me out. But I do think that I have something I can say that if God will let me, will hopefully will help somebody. Amen. If you want to stand with me, the book of Genesis. Thank you, Brother Garza, for your kindness and friendship. We love the Garzas and certainly do love this church. Pay honor to all these good men of God, many of whom are my friends, and I hope to be friends with the rest that I don't know. Amen. I know you can't be friends with everybody, but I try. Amen. Genesis, the third chapter. I don't even know what time it is. I don't wear a watch, and I don't have a clue what time it is, but if you'll ride with me a little while, I'll try not to preach 3 hours like I've done at home a time or two. Amen. Genesis, the third chapter. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let's just ask God to help us. God, we need you tonight. Certainly, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Our hearts are open unto the Spirit of God and not to any other spirit. Holy Jesus, I yield myself unto thee, O Lord God. Help me, Lord, to be responsive to your Spirit. Help me, O God, to respond unto thy Spirit. Lord Jesus of the scars, Lord Jesus of Calvary, I pray in your precious and holy name. Hallelujah. Everyone said, in Jesus' name, you can be seated. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have always been a little bit intrigued by this story, by this setting of Scripture, Adam and Eve in the garden being driven out and overcome by sin and driven out by the Lord to prevent them from finding their way to this thing called the tree of life. And we know that God's word said that he put there something to prevent them from entering back into that place of close fellowship, amen, with the Lord. Into that place of communion and companionship that they shared with God, that they lost when they sinned. And I have often wondered about that particular place. Now, some of the things I'm going to say tonight, again, this is just Brother Kelly. I'm not preaching it for doctrine, but perhaps just wondering. I have wondered, of course, as I'm sure most of you have, where that was. And look at that map and go over it and wonder where it was. Where was the Garden of Eden? Men have certainly wondered that down through time. And wherever it was, we know that that it was a protected place. It was obviously a walled place. It was a place that had a barrier of some sort around it, because you don't have a gate unless you got a wall. And just some assumptions of mine. You don't have a door unless you got a wall. And so the angel stood in front of the gate, obviously an enclosed place, a place of that God didn't want them to come back into. I don't know where Cain and Abel came to bring their sacrifice, to bring their offering to the Lord. Perhaps it was back to, as close to they could, as they could get to that place. I don't doubt but what they knew somewhat where the location of it was. And I've wondered, did they go back there to that portal, to that spot where they had lost their fellowship with God and offer their offerings there in an attempt to reestablish some connection with the Lord? Praise the Lord. And of course, you know that Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices, and Cain brought that which was not pleasing. Abel brought that which was pleasing. And one way to look at the verses that are written there, God said, "Cain, you're crouching at my door, but sin is crouching at your door. And if you do well, you will also be received. But if not, sin crouches at your door." And I think they knew what to offer. I think Cain knew what he was supposed to offer. I believe they were well instructed in how to offer to God what they were supposed to offer. Amen. And but they had lost their communion. That was the thing that they were attempting to reestablish. And I don't know where that spot is. I don't know. I just have wondered. But I do know that scripturally, you can spiritualize it. You can look at it from whatever perspective you want. We know that that it is not a physical place anymore as far as this earth is concerned. But we do know, according to Revelation, the second chapter and the seventh verse, that there is yet still a tree of life. Amen. In the paradise, or in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. And so also in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, it mentions the tree of life. And a couple different places there. And I just looking at that, I have thought about what man missed out on and where he went wrong and how he lost his connection to God. If you look at the story after these men and read the continuation of the chapters of Genesis, you will find that it was not very long until men began to wax exceedingly wicked. And iniquity began to abound, and people's thoughts began to be only evil continually. And finally it came down to the place where that all God had left in the world was just that he could communicate with was one man. I don't think that God necessarily didn't want to communicate with others, but he was not able to be heard by anybody else. I think Noah was the last of the last. Amen. He could hear from God and hear His voice. And so God destroyed the earth that then was. Amen. With water. And then we come to Abraham. Abraham, certainly, I've read, and many books have been written commentaries about Abraham and his walk with God and how he found God. I guess the question begs to be asked tonight, that if God had nobody in those days whatsoever and had to call Abraham out of absolute and complete paganism, then we have to say that God's also had a time, an era, in the last 2,000 years when he had nobody. And I have a hard time believing that. I think Abraham knew about God. I think he had been taught about God. And there was some faith in his heart toward God. And as a consequence, he was able to hear from God when God spoke to him. Praise the Lord. And you get to the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter, and there's an intriguing little story there about Jacob. And he's running from his father, or from his brother, and he's going to his mother's people, and he lies down after a long run, perhaps, and he's weary and tired, and he finds a rocky promontory with some trees where he can see in all directions, and he lays down, and he takes a stone and he puts his head on it, and he goes to sleep, and he dreams a dream. And in his dream, he sees a ladder which is upon the earth, sitting there, and it reaches up into the heavens, and he looks and sees the angels of God as they ascend on the ladder and descend down the ladder. And when he looks to the top, he sees God standing at the top of the ladder. And God speaks to Jacob and begins to reason with him and talk with him and commune with him. And then Jacob wakes up, and you know what he said. He said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven." And I thought about that. If you look at some translations, it says this is the portal. This is the door to heaven. Amen. And there were angels ascending and descending there. And Jacob was able to hear the voice of God. And God was able to speak to him. And so he gets up, and he was afraid. And he said, "How fearful is this place? This is nothing except none else except the house of God." Amen. This is the door to heaven. And you know the story. He pours out oil. He makes a vow. And he calls that place Bethel. Amen. Or the house of God. But if you back up in the scripture, you'll find out that's not the first mention of Bethel in the scripture. Amen. But Abraham, the friend of God, the Bible says when God called him out of his father's house and he went into a strange country, Hebrews said, not knowing whither he went. Amen. This is the very first place that he came to. And it is the very first place that he built an altar. And the Bible said that he pitched his tent just a little bit east of Bethel. Amen. And that rocky promontory, which they tell us that has a flat spot, solid rock place at the top of it, which was suitable for the building of an altar. Abraham built an altar there, and he there prayed and sought the face of God. Amen. And it is very, very likely scripturally that this is the very spot that Jacob came to when he was running from his brother. And he was weary and tired, doubtless led by the Holy Ghost, amen, and ran to the top there where those stones had been taken down, because it is pretty well, in my mind, settled that Abraham would not have left those stones standing there with the fear that the Canaanites of the land might desecrate that altar with pagan idols or pagan worship. So he probably took the stones down, and they were lying about there, and Jacob stumbled in there in the night and just fell down sleepy and pulled one of those blackened stones up and laid his head on it. And while his head was resting on that place of worship, on that stone that had received the sacrifice of worship and praise and adoration of his father Abraham, he dreamed a dream, and the gate, amen, was opened, and God was able to make contact with him, amen, there because of his father Abraham. I'm trying to establish a little something here at the beginning, that when you pray, when you seek the face of God, when you build an altar, when you offer to God a true, sincere, wholehearted offering to the Lord, amen, when you walk by faith, there is something happens in this world, amen, there is a event that takes place, and I'll get to something that will tie it in if God will let me, but I'm telling you that, scripturally speaking, Abraham, I believe, went into a strange land. He went into a pagan country. We know that this was an exceedingly, exceedingly wicked land. I read just the other day, I don't remember where it was. It was some archaeological read of some sort. And I read where that they are digging over there in some place in that land of Abraham that he inherited. They have discovered a burial place of children, and it was a site that was layered for, I don't recall, I don't quote me, but it was hundreds of years of layer upon layer upon layer, acres there, where that they did nothing but bury their babies that they sacrificed to their idols. And there was somewhere in the neighborhood, they said, of several hundred thousand children that had been offered there in that wicked, wicked. I mean, you just don't get any more wicked than that. And I'm a grandpa, and I don't know how anybody could take a tender little child, little beautiful baby that God had formed and that was laughing and looking at you and trusting you, and take it and do such a thing, amen, of wickedness as that. So it was a very depraved land, and evil and wicked. And Abraham, the friend of God, came into that place and built an altar there. And with his act of faith and his act of worship, he opened something up. Amen. And a whole two generations later, his grandson came along and laid his head on that stone. Amen. And was able to hear from God because of the worship of his. It's important for us to lay the right foundation and build the right altars. Amen. And pray the right prayers as we are in the place to do so. Because it is our turn. Amen. It's our turn. Does anybody hear me today? I preached a message to my church here a while back, and there arose a generation which knew not the Lord. I'm telling you, I fear for a generation that doesn't take a hold of it and say, okay, amen, the elders have passed off, and it's my turn now to get a hold of God. It's my turn to pray. It's my turn to seek the Lord. It's my turn to open up a portal, amen, where God can communicate with mankind in this world at this time, right now. Amen. We have a responsibility. Amen. We have a responsibility to build the right kind of altars. Amen. And to do the right thing for the generation that we represent. Praise God. Amen. I remember and think back about my old pastor. Praise the Lord. He went into a strange city. It wasn't the first one or the second one. He built several churches in his ministry. And but this one, I was with him and was of an age where I could remember. And at the age of 15, and he was 58 years of age, he went into a strange city, didn't know anybody there, had never been there, didn't have a job, only had about $3,000 in the bank. Amen. And he pulled his little trailer in there, and we parked it in a trailer park. And We met with a lot of hostility. We met with a lot of people that tried to intimidate us. We don't need another church in this town. We don't need somebody else coming in here. We got enough churches in this town, but he stayed the course. He kept the right spirit. And I could take you right now to a place along an old creek bank, amen, where the water still runs, where the, doubtless if you pulled the grass back and you look, amen, you would see a spot there where the, my pastor wore a groove in the ground, walking and praying and seeking God and weeping and travailing, amen, and digging something out. I can't explain exactly what happened. All I can tell you is that somehow, somewhere, the Holy Ghost was able to come down into that city. Amen. There was a gate that was open. There was a door that was opened. Amen. And the Holy Ghost came down and lit a candlestick there in that little town called Kamei. And I'm gonna tell you something. That's what you gotta have to have a church. You gotta have a candlestick to have a church, my friend. You can open a door, you can open a building, you can buy property, you can build fancy edifices and spend lots of money, and you can bring in a preacher. I don't care what you do, my friends, that don't make a church. You can collect a crowd, that doesn't make a church. Amen. Amen, that's the truth. That's the truth. And this man preached it tonight. Amen. Just because they're out there preaching, just because that they got something to say, that doesn't make a church. Praise the Lord. What makes a church is when Jesus Christ lights a candlestick and stands right there in the midst of it and walks in the midst of it and deals with his people right in the midst of the candlestick. Thank God for a church. Amen. Thank God for a real church. But God help us to understand. Amen. It takes a man of God. It takes a prayer warrior. It takes some praying saints. Amen. To get a candlestick lit in a city. It don't just happen. Praise God. I've known a lot of people that went to build church. I don't know, maybe there's somebody here, and I certainly am not throwing off on you. I know how hard it is to build a home missions work, especially in this day and age. Amen. But I'm telling you, it isn't about hooking up with home missions department. It's not about finding a building. It's not about getting yourself, amen, an organ. It's not about getting the pulpit set up. It's not about putting a sign outside. It's not about knocking doors. I'm for that. Amen. All of that has to be done. But that's not what it's all about. Amen. It is about somebody that knows how to build an altar. Somebody that knows how to pray. Somebody that knows how to seek God. Somebody that knows how to get something opened up so that the Holy Ghost can come down. Amen. So that the Holy Ghost can come down into a city and begin to move on the hearts of sinners and deal with them and convict them and draw them. Well, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm not against program. I'm for everything that works, believe me. But I'm going to tell you something. We can have all that, but we still got to have conviction. No man cometh unto the Father except, amen, the Spirit draw him. You're going to have something out there working in your behalf. Praise the Lord. 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 Amen. Amen. And I see God calling men to a place of prayer, calling men to a place of dedication, calling men to a place of deeper consecration than what they've ever had before. I'm telling you, if we don't get there, we will not get what we need for our generation. And God knows if we don't get a hold of something, we're going to lose what we've got. And it's going to be our fault. We're not going to have anybody to blame it on but ourselves. Amen. Brethren, I'm sorry. I'm not criticizing the ministry. But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't
If we don't hold on to a Holy Ghost apostolic move and revival, it's going to be nobody's fault but ours. We can blame it on the Trinitarians if we want. We can blame it on the Charismatics if we want. But bless God, amen, the truth is that it's us that stand before God tonight, amen. And we have a responsibility to get a hold of God for our generation and for our churches and for our fellowship. Praise God. And the devil's going to do everything that he can, amen, to stomp the life out of us. And he's going to do everything that he can to get us off base and off course. He's going to make it look so glittery and so bright as this man of God preached here tonight. He's going to make it look like, hey man, that it's something that works. And if you're not careful, you'll go running after this and you'll go running after that and you'll go running after something else. And it'll work for a little while and maybe something looks like it's going to happen. But I'm telling you, if you're missing the fundamentals of it, it isn't going to last. You're going to fall on your face. It's all going to fall flat. Oh, God, help us tonight. I said, God, help us tonight. I'll tell you what it's about. Amen. It's about going back to that place where we commune with God. It's about going back to that place, amen, where we can reconnect to the Holy Ghost and reconnect to God and get a hold. Because I got news for you. Only Almighty God has the answer for our day. Only God has the answer for our day. There ought not to be a service go by that we don't say, oh God, I've got to have your current word of knowledge and wisdom and prophecy for this service. There's too many dangers. There's too many perils. There's too many pitfalls. There's too many deceptions. I find myself praying this prayer more just about than anything. God, don't let me be deceived. Don't let me somehow get off course. Don't let me go chasing after something other than what is really you. God, help us, amen. We need to hear from God. We need to hear His voice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's something about these consecrated places, these altars that God calls men back to. You go read about Abraham. Amen. And the scripture says that he went back to Bethel. Now, once again, he wandered, the scripture says, throughout the land. But just before his last day, he went back to Bethel. And then you go read Jacob. Amen. The scripture says that God called him up on the telephone one day and said, go back to Bethel. Praise the Lord. Go back, amen, to the house of God. Praise the Lord. There's something about where you touched God. There's something about where you hooked up with God. There's something about where you made connection with God. Amen. That God's going to call you back there. I'm afraid of people that never made a connection with God. My pastor used to say, I'm afraid of people that aren't afraid of God. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm afraid of people that don't know God. It scares me. Amen. To think. Praise the Lord. I better be careful here tonight. But I'm afraid. Lord, help me, Jesus. Give me wisdom. I don't want to say the wrong thing at this meeting, but I see too many preachers. And I say, oh, where are you, Lord? I'm looking for you. I hear the sermon. I hear I hear the beautiful, you know, way it's put together. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you, I hear a lot of preaching that I can't find God in it. I'm looking for God. I'm saying, I want to know where that altar's at. I gotta feel the Holy Ghost here somewhere. It isn't that I don't agree necessarily with what they're preaching. It's not that I don't agree, but I'm telling you something. I don't want to follow nobody that don't have a hookup with God. Hello. Someone called me up here a while back and said, Brother Kelly, did you hear that message so-and-so preached so-and-so? And I said, yes, I did. And they said, what'd you think about it? And I said, what'd you think about it? And they said, boy, it was just awesome. And again, Ron, man, tremendous message. And, oh, man, I said, what'd you think about it, Brother Kelly? And I said, well, I thought, kind of, you know, really had a lot of good things to say. And I said, what'd you really think about it, Brother Kelly? And I said, well, I guess my problem was I never felt God. You say, you're just going by your feelings. And it's all, if it's the Word of God, it's the Word of God. That's true. That's why I just try to keep my mouth shut. But I'm telling you, I got to feel God in it somewhere. I might feel God in it somewhere. I'm telling you, folks, I want to go back. I want to know somebody that's got some old blackened stones somewhere. It's cost them something. They've shed some tears. They've heard from God. They stood at that place where the ladder ascends and descends. And the angels of God, amen, are coming up and down. And God is talking to them. I want to hear the voice of God. God, help us. I need to hear the voice of God. I'm hungry. I'm hungry! I'm hungry! I'm hungry! For the voice of God, for the voice of God, for the voice of God, I want to hear the voice of God. I don't know what happened, I don't know where, but dear God, I want to hear your voice. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Come on, let's really worship the Lord. Come on, let's really worship the Lord. Kishanamosataya. Kishanamosia. Kitanamosa. Ishataya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's really worship the Lord. My God, help us tonight. My God, help us tonight. Let's stand and worship. I'm not through it, but I'm through if the Holy Ghost is. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Come on, church. Pour your heart out to God. Come on. We need to hear from God. We've got to hear from God. I don't know how you hear from God if you don't know how to pray and you don't know how to worship God. If you don't know how to offer the sacrifice of praise and worship to the Lord, I don't know how you hear from God. I don't know how you plan on hearing from God. I know we need a preacher. Praise God. Come on, church. Hallelujah. 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 We need to hear from you, Jesus. 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 Oh, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say unto the church. Give us ears to hear, God, what the Spirit would say unto the church. Hallelujah. My God. My God. My God. My God. My God. My God, help us tonight. Help us to open up a door of worship. Help us to open up a door of praise. Help us to open up a door of prayer. It's not going to just affect us. It's going to affect the whole generation around us. It's going to affect your mother and your father, your sister, your brother, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, your church. It's going to affect everybody around you if you'll learn how to pray. You'll learn how to seek God. You'll learn how to commune with the Lord. You'll learn how to build an altar unto God. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this place. Hey man, you need to respond. We need to respond. We need to respond to the Holy Ghost. Oh, what are you responding to tonight? Why don't you say, God, help me to respond to you, Jesus? Hallelujah. 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 God, I feel like somebody needs to pray. I feel like somebody needs to get a hold of God. I feel like somebody needs to open something up in the Spirit where the Holy Ghost can commune with your friends, with your neighbors, with your relatives, with your family, with your church. Dear God, help us tonight to understand. It matters if you pray. It matters if you know God. It matters if you got the Holy Ghost. It matters if you walk with the Lord. It really does matter. Come on, church, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. I could preach on, but the Holy Ghost has moved in here. Let's respond. Let's respond. My God, my God, my God, help us tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, let's build an altar tonight. Let's build an altar tonight. Hallelujah. Let's build an altar tonight. Let's build an altar tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Find a place to kneel. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's call on God. If you feel like standing and praying, amen, that's fine. But let's talk to God with all of our heart tonight. Amen. Amen. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You build an altar tonight.